been a long journey through Advent,
but now we're in the final week.
It always seems appropriate to me that in this final week leading up to the coming of Christ, we focus on love. After all, the Bible tells us that God is love, and this is nowhere more evident than in the incarnation, right? The coming of God to be with us, to be one of us. And this passage that Rick just read for us from the Gospel of John is one of my very favorites. It's probably a favorite for many of us. These first words of John's Gospel are beautiful poetry, full of theological truth about Jesus. They're the lens through which we will read the rest of John's Gospel in the coming months. Like all of this Gospel, they have a purpose. John tells us at the end of the Gospel that he has recorded all these things so that we may be sustained and nurtured in our faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, we may have abundant life now and forever. This text is a little different from the story in Luke that we'll read on Christmas Eve. John is less interested in Jesus as a helpless baby. For John, Jesus' holiness didn't begin in a stable under a star, or even at baptism as it does in Mark's Gospel. Jesus' holiness began when the universe was chaos, and God spoke things into being. The poetic words of these first verses point us back to Genesis, to creation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, who was both God and with God, was there at the very beginning of time. And it's through the Word, Jesus, that all things are brought into being. This child whose birth we celebrate, the one who brought about all creation, will now bring about recreation. God is about creating, about life, about abundant life. God is a life giver at every turn in this story. And so is Jesus, God made flesh. This life that Jesus offers is described as light for all people. You may know that scientifically, it takes only the tiniest bit of light for our eyes to adjust to the darkness, to be able to see in the dark. But where there is no light at all, our eyes will never adjust, never become accustomed to the dark. The smallest light can create the possibility of belief, and that is good news for us when our lives are overwhelmed with shadow, because Jesus brings light for all people, and we can always see our way through, even when the worst things happen. And they do happen. We can know that the worst things are never the last things. The incarnation says in the flesh what the prophets and patriarchs tried to tell us. God doesn't float over our chaos, doesn't just hover, as in the beginning, over our chaos, over our pain, over our sin, nor resides safely somewhere with our ancestors amidst the dead. God personally wants to meet us here and now. God risks relationship, dares to give God's self into human hands, becomes a body. God not only invented flesh, but became our flesh. And that is why incarnation matters, why we wait with longing and celebrate with great joy the coming of the Christ child. Only God can save us. Only God has eternity. And yet, humanity can't be fully redeemed if God is unwilling to assume full humanity, because we can't do it on our own. If Jesus is only human. He's irrelevant to the deepest human need and can't be worshipped. And if he had been only God, then he's disconnected from human limitations and can't be followed. And that is why the incarnation of Christ matters so much. In Jesus, we have a God whom we can worship and who we can follow. He steps directly into our mess to be with us, to walk and live with us in the midst of our imperfection. He shows us how to be moment by moment. Author Brian Doyle was writing in one of his works about some of the kind of crazy traditions of the holiday season, and he was inspired as his family was putting the lights on the Christmas tree. Do any of y'all still do that? Get a real tree or have an artificial one that's not pre-lit? Well, that can lead to some works. And he writes this about it. And then I remembered, too, that the ostensible reason for it all was the love being bold and brave enough to assume a form that would bleed and break and despair and die. And I was again moved and abashed. And I finished untangling that epic knot of lights, shivering yet again with happiness that we were given such a sweet, terrible knot of a world to untangle the best we can with bubbling love. I was reminded of the mess this world can be and of the power and promise of the incarnation this very week on social media, of all places. You may have seen this clip from Kentucky as well in the aftermath of the tornadoes. Something that allows us to go on even in the worst of circumstances. Something that allows us to praise in the middle of the storm. Jesus matters. The incarnation matters in our everyday lives. We're not just saved from something. Sin, destruction, death, our selfishness. We're also saved to and for something beautiful. When we welcome Jesus into our lives, we become children of God. And everything that a child needs from a parent for survival and protection, to be sustained and nurtured, to grow and mature, that's what God provides. It's what our scripture means when it says we become children of God. We're saved to our birthright, saved to our original blessing, saved to relationship and wholeness, to life as it was always meant to be. becoming who we were meant to be all along. Eugene Peterson wrote, "Jesus keeps our feet on the ground, attentive to children, in conversation with ordinary people, sharing meals with friends and strangers, listening to the wind, observing the wildflowers, touching the sick and the wounded, praying simply and unselfconsciously." Jesus insists that we deal with God right here and right now, in the place we find ourselves, and with the people we are with. Because Jesus is God here and now. The mystery and wonder of the incarnation is not just that God became human, but also that God became human. The human Jesus reveals the full divinity of God. And that's what it means when John writes that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I get chills anytime I hear that phrase. That word dwelt means pitched a tent or tabernacled. So while the first verses of our text point us back to Genesis, this image is from Exodus, reminding us of God's presence with the Israelites in the wilderness. Then God went wherever God's people went. God was with them continually. And now, because of Jesus, God not only goes where God's people go, but is who they are. God now dwells with us by taking on our humanity. Jesus is the full expression of God's presence in the world. And when the Word becomes flesh, grace is incarnated. And because of Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace. Jesus is the Word made flesh, a word that forms on the lips of the Creator and echoes in our souls. A word that breaks the silence of evil and disturbs the noise of ignorance. A word that brings life out of death and laughter with the morning. A word that tears up the darkness, flooding it with light. A word that speaks to all loneliness with self-giving compassion and care. A word that speaks to our futures, calling us by name to trust anew and believe once more. In a word called love. I will never get over Jesus. Jesus, this man, God, who walked this earth, this incarnate God, embodying all of the promises and hopes and yearnings of this weary world and redeeming it. Jesus, still worth clinging to all of my heart and mind and strength and soul. Jesus, still healing and setting free and turning over tables, still feeding and inviting and walking. Jesus, still God with us. The glory of God moved right into our neighborhoods, friends. And that's